It's called superhero syndrome. Symptoms include feeling like you got to do everything yourself and struggling to let go of certain tasks. Sound familiar? But the good news is, there is a cure. When you sponsor your job on Indeed, you'll find the candidates with the exact skills you're looking for fast. Sponsored jobs boosts your job post in search results so you can reach the people who can help your business thrive. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed. Sponsored jobs. And Side Hustle Show listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Find a thirsty crowd. My guest today has been doing that for the last 7 years with his unique mobile coffee cart business. Relatively low startup costs, flexible timing, and how about this for scale? Over 1 million cups of coffee sold, translating into more than $3 million in revenue. From coffeebike.ca, Vlad Priyatko. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Nice to meet you, Nick, and thank you so much for having me.
You a bet. Stick around. We're covering how this business works, the most profitable events to sell out, and how you might start something similar in your own area. So Vlad, my understanding is you like coffee, you like the margins in selling coffee, you don't like the overhead and commitment in opening a retail space, your own coffee shop type of thing. So you decide to go mobile, which is really unique, but the first version of the mobile coffee business doesn't really work, does it?
Well, to be frankly honest with you, I didn't even drink coffee when I was just coming up with an idea. For me, I'm like very mathematical mindset. I just calculated the margins on the coffee. I was like, okay, back in the time, the retail price is $5. It cost me around $1 for the ingredients. And the mobility part of it, as you mentioned, it kind of deducts most of the overhead. So my profit margin as a solo operator would be in like 70 to 80% range, which is crazy if you would compare it to, like, you know, 10, 15, at the best 20% at the retail, but majority of them being in a 5 to 10 range, to be honest, based on my research and having quite a lot of fellows. So yeah, the first card, I actually ordered something from overseas, and I didn't have too much knowledge. I just gained the coffee margins, and then the overall look of it was attractive to me. I received the concept, the card, which was absolutely not non-compatible with local regulations, which of course I haven't researched as a 21-year-old back in the time, 22-year-old, pressing the accelerator pedal all the time, kind of without too much of the additional thoughts to what I'm doing. I received the card and then I brought it to the local health departments. They were like laughing at me in a way that's, well, there is no way this gets approved. After like 1 year of research of YouTube, different talks with handymans, I managed to put additional equipment to this cart, which finally got approval. But the cart was so overweight, it could only travel decline. Like otherwise, I would just have to push it around. And the idea of this enterprise from the very beginning was scalability. Like I never saw myself as an operator of a single unit. As a barista, I just wanted something that I can scale and I have multiple locations without too much overhead. I just didn't see this type of cart scalable.
Okay.
However, in 2 to 3 months of operations locally in Vancouver, BC, I received so much, you know, support, validation of the concept that I realized that the concept is great, just the execution is completely off. I saw those kind of carts riding around to Vancouver delivery trikes. It's like a bicycle where the whole weight is behind you and there's a big cargo box. My cart was kind of opposite direction. You sit on the kind of pedal bike and the whole weight is in front of your face, blocking your vision, you know, not being able to go uphill, etc. So I still have this like notebook where I just took a pen and I draw this delivery trike on it. And I tried to fit all of my coffee equipment within this cargo box behind my back.
Okay.
And that's the origin of the coffee bike. I kind of reinvented the wheel and just flipped the direction of the rider, making the concept much more mobile.
Got it. So the first version, too heavy, not compliant with the local regulations, but it was kind of validation. When you did get it out on site and started serving customers, they liked it.
They absolutely loved it. That Vancouver community is very supportive, especially in the different like areas of Vancouver. And me like seeing a lot of different communities across Canada and states, I understand that this type of support exists, you know, all over North America. But again, the setup portion of this and the wrapping up, it took me 2 hours to set up in the morning. I had to park my car next to my service location, and I would bring espresso machine and other equipment from my car to the cart back and forth. And yeah, again, looking back, not scalable at all, but nice looking, serving the purpose, you know, attracting attention, etc.
Did you fall under like food truck regulations or restaurant regulations? Like I'm trying to think, and it's going to vary city by city and location by location, but curious just what the broad scopes bureaucracy or regulation look like for you?
On average across North America and in Vancouver specifically, that would be like a food cart regulation. In Vancouver, it's the same type of rules as for the food truck. When it comes down to health, some counties across North America, they have a little bit less requirements for the smaller carts as opposed to bigger food trucks. The challenge was I had to fit the bare minimum requirements of the big food truck to the small food coffee bike.
Yeah.
And I managed to do this. So we are food truck technically in Vancouver, but across the North America, there is a separate categories for food carts as well. Just a little bit less than food truck.
Got it. So make sure to study your local laws and regulations before you get into this.
100%.
Now, was anybody else doing this in Vancouver, the mobile coffee business? Or was this kind of like, I think this could be a thing, I'm going to test it out?
Yes, there was another few people doing it. There was even one guy who we became good friends with who was doing like specifically coffee bike. But let's call his unit like a grandfather of my unit. So like the actual bike was not motorized, not electrically assisted. So he had to really push it around because pedal power wasn't something that you could do with this type of weight. Just the espresso machine, the commercial grade espresso machine alone is usually like 100 to 200 pounds. There are definitely, and there are still some coffee trucks, coffee trailers, but this specific footprint concept, apart from this guy who kind of closed his business down at some point and just switched careers, we have been the only kind of mobile concept in our area. And there is all these people who like telling that they're about to start something, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we've been operating for like 8 years now. These multiple units, we haven't had anyone sort of like trying to interfere with our operation with their own similar concept. So yeah, there are some, but we've been bulletproof the past 8 years serving a lot of coffees.
The reason I bring it up is coffee is somewhat commoditized. You can make it at home, you can get it at, you know, Tim Hortons, you can get it at Starbucks, you can get it all over the place, you can get it at the gas station. But bringing it to the people, like getting in front of a crowd is maybe the unlock here where, yeah, there's existing competition all over the place, but you didn't let that deter you and say, I think I can slice off a little bit of this market, still make good margins and scale it and have some fun along the way. Ultimately, like all in, do you have an estimate of the startup costs by the time you got the fully working version here?
If you're just someone who just want to do something like mobile coffee shop, if you just want to put it together yourself, you can probably have a budget of like $10,000. Just it's not going to be as perfect as you wish, but you can build something with a very low key espresso machine for like this type of range of money.
And I think a lot of people are probably comfortable with that level of investment if they have a path, a clear path to break even and profitability. And it's one thing to say, okay, I could sell a product for $5 that cost me one to make, but where do you go to find your first customers for this stuff? Where do you go to start selling the coffee?
Well, one thing I always tell, planning is good, but whatever you're going to plan before making a commitment, most likely the real life going to be completely different. Like I have a lot of people who would be like specifically thinking that this location is going to be the best in their life and it's going to recruit the investment super quick. You know, and I was one of those, like I intentionally was building the unit for this one specific location in Vancouver, which was a complete disaster. So It was thousands of people crossing every few hours. It was between a subway and a bus station. But the issue was people are so much in a rush that none of them were actually willing to stop in between switching from subway to the bus. I even put a big, slow down, enjoy the cup of coffee. The bus is coming every 1 minute, 45 seconds. I couldn't break the mindset of these specific people. I just moved a couple blocks down to the next subway station where people were coming out and going to their offices. And that was like X5 of sales just by switching two blocks.
More with Vlad in just a moment, including building his regular office route to $400 to $500 per morning and scaling his profitability by getting booked for private events. Coming up right after this. It took Bryn and I a few years to fully appreciate that as a couple, as a family, our finances really are a team sport. And for a long time, we'd have these every so often money check-ins where I would dutifully log into what felt like a dozen different accounts and update my overly complex spreadsheet to get a look at our financial picture. Today, all that lives inside Monarch, and it's given us a clear one-stop visual dashboard for our net worth, for our investment performance, our account balances, and it's just made those money conversations so much easier. One of the coolest features is on the cash flow tab. It will show you your savings rate, otherwise known as your personal profitability, otherwise known as the single most important lever you can pull toward financial independence, and you can track that over time. You can try and push it to 50% or beyond to really accelerate your journey. I want to invite you to write your own money story with Monarch. Use code SIDEHUSTLE at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code SIDEHUSTLE. Hear that? That's the sound of your marketing working. And as an entrepreneur, you know that every call is an opportunity, but if you miss it, potential customers don't wait. They'll just call the next business on their list. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O. It's the business phone system built so you never miss a call. You can set it up in minutes on any device. You can keep your existing phone number and you can add teammates as you grow. No IT, no hassle. Once you do, all your calls, texts, and voicemails live in one place, so anyone on your team can pick up a conversation, see the full history, and respond fast. Plus, Quo integrates with the tools you're already using, HubSpot, Zapier, Claude, and tons more, so you can save time and stay organized. Money is on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free. Plus, get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/hustle. That's Quo, quo.com/hustle.
So to answer your question, the flexibility of the concept allows you to play around with so many different variables, with so many different locations, that you will 100% find a winner if you are actually committed to finding one. I switched locations and it was good. Then I was like, what else can I do to make it work? So in this specific office area, I went to like 10 different offices and I told them, hey guys, I'm gonna come to each of you, like let's say the first three offices, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then office number one, 10 to 11, then office number two, 11 to 12, office number three, 12 to 1. And this kind of scarcity of my presence would push people to come out and get excited about me coming. I had some extra new pastries, some drinks. After that, I started to receive recognition and I started to be invited for events. That opened up me a huge revenue stream, which actually contributes to more than half of our revenue in Vancouver, Canada right now, with my personally owned coffee bikes.
Okay. Did you do anything? I love this approach of going to the office buildings. You're trying to approach the building manager or who do you talk to say, like, I'm going to park out here Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 10 in the morning?
Just being nice, entering the first person I see, I'm trying to kind of dig who's in charge. Usually it would be just a reception desk. She has like some sort of internal communication system, like a Slack or Discord or something similar. And she would just like send a quick message. Hey, now this coffee guy gonna come serve Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays. And slowly I would build up my recruitment customer base. I would also spend every single evening
with my laptop, researching, getting emails like LinkedIn, Facebook, even kind of like a FBI creep sort of situation. I would just try to find the best people in different industries and approach them with my little enterprise. This is how small business startup works. You grind in the morning and you keep on grinding in the evening if you really want to make the best out of it.
Yeah, it's trying to find where there's a large concentration of people who might want your product and how can I kind of shortcut my way in front of them. Oh, I can go to the subway station. Oh, I can go to these office managers, or these receptionists. So they can send out a Slack message to everybody in the building. Like, that's pretty powerful to say, like, and I like this scarcity thing. I'm only going to be here for a couple hours. If you want it, come and get it. Otherwise, I'm moving to the next building. And the mobility of the business lends itself well to that.
100%, yes. And the social media is also a huge part, which I kind of undervalued back in the time, but like build your community with your social media, post your locations on the stories, post your weekly schedule, etc. This is the best way to build a long-term returning customer base.
That seems to be the thing with any mobile food business is they have a place that they park with some regularity because they want to have... I mean, it's so much easier to sell more to an existing customer than it is to find a new customer. And it's like, if I don't know where you're going to be, it's hard for me to do business with you. And so having some kind of regular cadence or schedule makes a lot of sense. So you're doing coffee, you're doing pastries. Do you have any barista experience at this point? Or are you just kind of like learning to make these different drinks as you go?
As I mentioned, I didn't even drink coffee before starting the coffee business, but I'm a very constructive person. So before actually starting to deal with coffee making, I went to it was 2 weeks courses, Barista Academy in Vancouver.
Okay, nice.
They gave me the base understanding of what is latte, what is cappuccino, what is espresso, Americano, how to steam milk, difference between Arabica and Robusta, coffee beans, and other type of knowledge. At the end of the day, I want to believe, and this is my personal opinion, coffee is subjective. The cup of coffee, which one person would tell that this is the best coffee in their life, 10 minutes after the same person will say this is the worst coffee that they've tried in their life. You can learn to be a barista. You can teach yourself about all kind of things coffee. Some people spend their entire lives dedicating to this craft, but you don't need to think that it's going to take you your entire life to do this. You can learn how to be a good barista in 1 week.
And I think people are primed to have a somewhat unique and non-chain experience when they're doing business with you. They understand, like, look, I'm supporting a small business. I understand this is going to be kind of a craft roast and it's going to taste how it's going to taste. And I think people are kind of primed to enjoy that type of experience. They feel good about it. They feel supportive about it.
Well, apart from the actual unique concept and very attractive concept of the actual coffee bag that we have, the number one thing is our espresso machines. You can see online, they like a lever. So you kind of extract the shot by actually applying human power to it. So from the perspective of the customer, when you take a portafilter, you grind your coffee, you put the portafilter to the tamping station, you do the tamping, then you insert it to the espresso machine, and then you extract the shot, and then you steam the milk, you go in through like almost like 8 to 10 steps before giving the cup to the customer. So the customer is actually witnessing you crafting your drink in front of you. So you're putting the effort as opposed to like automatic machines in the most of the coffee shops where you just press the button and the coffee drops to your cup and then it's still $7 somehow. I believe that our approach is more like craft approach towards coffee making. And then the energy, because one person represents the coffee bike when it's serving. It's not like there is no like front end, back end manager. There's just one person. The energy that you give to the customer when you serve the coffee also plays a crucial role in the customer experience. It's always positive energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that hopefully dictates whether or not they come back for a second or third cup or they become a regular of yours every time that you're at the building. I was going to ask, in these early months, what was a good day or week worth of sales? Have you tracked that? And just what might be possible here prior to getting into the private events?
So I think my good day would be weekdays and weekends. Differ a lot. But if, for example, we talk about my little office run around, like 1 hour at each offices, three offices, I would do like 150 per office, something like that. So I would be like at around $450, $500 of sales. That's within 4 5 hours of collective sales. If you break it down on the hourly, let's call it $100 an hour, which is like a relatively slower pace for the coffee bike efficiency. You can go like up to $300 an hour in the very high pace serving environment. But $100, if you're the solar operator, after you pay all your coffee beans, cups, milks, you pocket around $70 profit. So you can break it down on $70 an hour kind of barista position, right? And your regular barista in the coffee shop gets like, what, 15 or 20, something.
Right, right. Oh, that's cool. Thanks for breaking that down. Now, tell me about the events, because I think this is something where you're going to collect a flat fee up front and we're going to serve however many cups. Or like, how does this work?
We specifically charge hourly fee for the experience. I provide a realistic expectations to the client saying, hey, with one unit, we can serve 50 cups an hour, maybe 60, depending on the drinks choice. But we keep it at 50 just to be super realistic. We charge $275 per hour, so which comes down to $5.5 per drink. Very reasonable at the top capacity. Doesn't matter if it's going to be 5 cups served per hour or 50 cups. We're charging for the experience of bringing this like $20,000-$25,000 worth of asset, unique concept to your doorstep or to your venue.
Yeah.
And then we also charge a delivery fee depending on the distance to cover our gas, like parking, etc. Because for the longer distance, we use trailer to transfer the coffee bikes. If it's a shorter distance, the delivery fee will be just us biking over there. It's going to be just less.
Okay.
So the profit margins is incredible over there. So $275, depending on how many drinks, but it would be anywhere between, if you're the solar operator, anywhere between like 70% all the way to 95% if it's like very VIP event where they just want you for like, I had events where they would hire me for 5 hours, pay me like $1,500 and it's going to be 10 people only.
Wow.
Just because it's a high profile event, they would come, mingle, each person would grab like 3 drinks or something. And then, you know, for me, 3 drinks, that it's a 30 drinks over 5 hours, that would cost me like $30 in expenses. I would pocket like almost the entire amount as a profit.
Yeah. What type of events are a good fit for this or anything like proactive that you did to kind of get on their radar or offer that as your menu of services?
So we serve and are still serving anything from like small bridal shower or baby shower of like 25 people to the birthday party of 100 people to the wedding of 200 people all the way to rock festivals of 5,000 people. We're just being very realistic with efficiency. And for example, if it's a rock festival of, you know, 5,000 people, we would bring like 4 coffee bikes there, placing them in the different areas and serve for 8 hours.
Oh, okay.
Like corporate, real estate, open houses, staff appreciation days, teacher appreciation days in schools and educational institutes. Also, a big one for us would be, it's a big contracts, usually like 2 to 3 of those per year. But some big brand would reach out to us to fully custom brand our coffee bikes, like a white label situation. And we would just give out complimentary drinks to the all people in the specific areas that they want us to be, and they prepay everything. So that's like high 6-figure contracts from business that cost like 20,000 to start. We worked with big AI companies. Recently, we worked with DoorDash. The uniqueness of the bikes, we wrapped the bikes in their like custom branding. We didn't even serve coffee. We were giving out FIFA merch from the bikes, which they also provided. It's just the actual concept of mobile, very nice looking bikes that attracted their marketing team, and we made it work. But they compensated us as if we were serving coffees, because the opportunity cost for us would be serving coffees.
Got it. And it's easier because you're in one spot, and it makes a lot of sense. And so it sounds like there's great margin to be made in, you know, doing a little route and having regular customers in front of these office buildings or going to the farmer's market on Saturdays. But the real money is in doing these private events, these corporate events where you're getting paid by the hour,
yep,
providing this custom experience. I was just at a conference last month and it was the same. It was in a building. So I don't know if it was, you know, a mobile cart situation, but it was like, the company paid them to be there and it was free for everybody to go grab a coffee. And they kind of like would sprinkle their logo in cinnamon or whatever on the latte art on the top. It was like, okay, this is cool. But Is that the main focus, or that's a big piece of the business right now?
It's the biggest piece of the business, but it would never work out without me and my team being out there on the regular routes. My slogan of the business, coffee bike, always on your route. So before being noticed, right now there are a lot of options, and we also use like Google Ads, Facebook Ads, Instagram Ads. But to be honest, the biggest contracts and the biggest returning clients would come to me from my local communities. I would just be in the park, and then I would never know that one of my regular customers is actually CEO of Vancouver Airport. And then after being my customer for 1 year, she actually invited us for the big series of events inside the Vancouver Airport. And essentially, they even gave us the spot to be a retail coffee shop inside the Vancouver Airport with 3 coffee bikes. That was a big fortune. But it only happened because rain or shine, I would come to my park location on that specific days, and she would be my customer a few times a week. Then when there is a need of the mobile coffee, I would be the first one that would come to her mind.
How many bikes are you running in Vancouver at this point?
I have 4 of my bikes. My peak was like 8 bikes, but then I start to sell them. And I just like with 4 bikes, I covered enough area. And I also have 6 more espresso bars, like a smaller ones, probably similar to what you've seen on the conference, just because I saw the needs for those, just to get to like more tighter spaces. So yeah, 10 units altogether under operations. We have anywhere between like 10 to 30 baristas on the team at the time.
That's pretty big, starting with one bike, but kind of having this vision of, oh, it could be much bigger, where there may be a Starbucks on every corner. If I want to sell this product, I need to be in more places at once.
Yeah, I'm always trying to kind of think what's next, which is not specifically the best option for everyone. I think even having one of those would be a good side hustle or like even a full-time perk. But for me, I'm kind of a sick entrepreneur where I'm always trying to think about the next level, more revenue, more ideas, etc. But again, that's just my life choice.
More with Vlad in just a moment, including rolling a coffee bike onto the set of Dragon's Den, the investable idea he pitched him, and what's happened since. All that and more coming up right after this. Here's a little productivity hack. Give yourself a deadline. I get it. Summer's a busy time. We've got weddings, sports, travel, kids off school. But what I found is it never really slows down. The timing is never going to be perfect, which is why you got to force your own agenda. Thankfully, our partner Shopify makes it easy to get your business up and running in the time you do have. With Shopify's templates and built-in AI tools, if you can point and click, you can set up a storefront. Plus, every Shopify store is automatically integrated with Shop Pay for checkout, which increases your conversions and makes life easy for your customers. And if questions come up, Shopify's built-in AI assistant called Sidekick is ready to help you build, troubleshoot, and keep moving. And if you prefer a human, that's of course an option too, with Shopify's award-winning customer support team. All you need is the idea. Shopify handles the rest. If you're serious about hearing your first, start your free trial at shopify.com/sidehustle today. You heard that right. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's shopify.com/sidehustle. It took Bryn and I a few years to fully appreciate that as a couple, as a family, our finances really are a team sport. And for a long time, we'd have these every so often money check-ins where I would dutifully log into what felt like a dozen different accounts and update my overly complex spreadsheet to get a look at our financial picture. Today, all that lives inside Monarch, and it's given us a clear one-stop visual dashboard for our net worth, for our investment performance, our account balances, and it's just made those money conversations so much easier. One of the coolest features is on the cash flow tab. It will show you your savings rate, otherwise known as your personal profitability, otherwise known as the single most important lever you can pull toward financial independence. And you can track that over time. You can try and push it to 50% or beyond to really accelerate your journey. I want to invite you to write your own money story with Monarch. Use code SIDEHUSTLE at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code SIDEHUSTLE. Tell me about Dragon's Den.
I've been watching the TV show since I was a little kid, like Shark Tank, Dragon's Den. I've seen all the seasons, all the episodes, just kind of reflecting on different ideas, on the business, communication, etc. I always wanted subconsciously to be part of it, but being just a local mobile coffee shop, I don't think it was an investable idea. So what would I offer them? Revenue share of my park sales in Vancouver Park. So only after I launched my manufacturing of the actual coffee bikes, offering the concept worldwide to aspiring entrepreneurs and businesses, I realized, hey, this is what I can bring to the screen. This is what I can bring to the investors. And things just happened pretty fast. I just filled a couple questionnaires online. They invited me for audition.
It was about a year ago or like last fall when the episode aired?
Last fall is when it was aired. They liked me on the audition, my story, like young entrepreneur, father of two beautiful kids, immigrant. I feel like I checked marked pretty much a lot of things that would be attractive for the screen. And the idea itself is pretty unique as well. So they called me and they said, hey, let's do it, right? You're accepted to the anniversary of season 20. And the good part about how I developed the coffee bike world right now is we have coffee bike owners already in many places of Canada and United States as well. So when I came for the shooting to Toronto, I had someone who already owned coffee bike in the small city. So I just rented the coffee bike from them. I put my logos on it, like a temporary vinyl wrap, and I brought this bike to the studio. So I actually entered the pitch on the coffee bike, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Served some coffees over there. I pitched the idea, whole idea of coffee bike world. It's against franchising in a way. I provide the concept, I provide the support, the continuous kind of community aspect of it, but there is no royalty or marketing fees and you have full ownership and freedom of action. You control your logo, your color, your menu, your prices, etc. But we still connect all the coffee bike owners to one network. And the long term, I offer like different upsales to the community, which are optional. If you want my coffee beans, you can buy mine or you can use yours. If you want me to handle your custom coffee cups, you can do it through our coffee bike portal or you can do it on your own. If you want to build your website, we can help you or you can do it on your own. So the goal is the scale. Once we have like hundreds of owners, I just need a little fraction of those owners to be a client of our recruitment revenue base. Then this is what I came as a pitch to Dragons then. This is what I felt like investable. Like, and mostly the money I was looking for would be for marketing, because the hardest part of this would be to market the concept and to make people see it around the world.
Yeah. I mean, this is so interesting. Starting out with your own coffee bike, okay, I can scale this only so much. I'm limited by the hours in the day and the locations I could be. So I'll build some more bikes. I'll start doing these events. And well, now that I know how to build more bikes, maybe other people in other cities would want to buy a bike from me and buy this mobile setup, this business in a box type of setup. Really unique way almost of selling the sawdust or selling the byproduct of what you're doing. Like, I can't be in Toronto. I can't be in these other places, but somebody else could. And here you go. If you want to white label this thing, put your own logo on it and go to town.
That's the whole idea. And a big part of it is community aspect, right? I don't have this goal to sell as many bikes as possible within the short time frame. Like, for example, if in Vancouver we have my bikes and they have another two owners, I will only introduce the new owner if they can specifically tell me where exactly they want to operate. So there is no conflict of interest, right? I want it to be a healthy community where people are, it's not a, again, I don't make anyone sign any papers. It's like a gentleman agreement situation where we are being respectful to each other. We are watching each other's success, supporting each other. It's not mandatory to be part of this community. You can just buy the bike and disappear, do your thing with it. But most of the owners choose to be part of it right now.
Well, it makes sense in that other people are going to be going through the same journey, the same steps. Hey, what kind of social media is working for you? Or what kind of template, or how much do you charge for these? People are going to have the same questions. And so banding together in that way, even if there's no formal franchise agreement, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's the idea, right? And the Dragons then went well. I got a deal on the screen from one of the long time being Dragon, Arlene Dickinson. Super supportive. She's like amazing person. We had a few calls and she even ordered three coffee bikes for her big coffee brand, Balzac's Coffee. which we delivered to her team. They're just using it as a corporate asset for like marketing, et cetera, right now. But we didn't proceed with an actual deal. Just, I think both me and her felt like it's a little bit early where I am right now. And I didn't really insist to kind of change her mind because I realized that I come up with like different crazy ideas, something that maybe not specifically investable. And I don't want to report to someone on a daily basis or weekly basis about every single step I do, especially if this is something I created from scratch. Like right now, I'm on this like cross Canada journey on a coffee bike, and it's been 5 weeks and marketing, right? Last year was a Dragon's Den, which is crazy, right? It's Dragon's Den. What can beat Dragon's Den? So I had to come up with something that can potentially beat the Dragon's Den.
Yeah, awareness and impressions, yeah.
So I've been bringing coffee bike with a trailer. Trailer is behind me right now. I'm sitting in my car with a Starlink. And we brought the coffee bike already through more than 50 cities. We are already on the other side of Canada, and we are about to turn back and go back to Vancouver through different route, so we can visit another 50 cities. The goal is just to show Coffee Bike in real life to local communities, how it can fit anything from little town of couple hundred people to like megapolis of 10 million people. And we also document it on YouTube. So yeah, it's both physical exposure and media exposure.
Yeah, I'm the guy, every time I've come across something new and novel, you know, especially restaurants and stuff, I'm like, do you have a franchise pamphlet? Oh, this would be great in this other area. So I think that's a great way to raise the awareness for that. And you've sold how many, like 30 of these things so far? Like it's, you've gotten some traction on the manufacturing side.
I've built so far 42 units. We have 28 owners and 42 units, which tells you that multiple people own multiple units.
I was going to ask, on the coffee bike side of things and maybe the social media side of things, anything you swear by tools or tech-wise to help run your business?
So once you purchase the coffee bike and become part of the community, you actually have this whole access to our coffee bike owners portal. And there is this whole digital kind of section on it where we can help you build out of your website, target ads, etc. Also kind of refer you to our CRM system. I'm using, for example, Goal High Level right now. I'm recently became a big AI geek, like everything Claude, ChatGPT. Like I have rebuilt my website with a Claude code. My whole communication when it's a cold lead, it's happening currently with my AI agents, which I'm a one-man army, and I'm selling a high-ticket product. Like last year alone, I made more than 15,000 calls myself. That's a lot of time. And I'm not talking about like a full, like, you know, conversations. That includes attempts to reach out to someone.
Who are you calling? Who are you reaching out to?
More than 5,000 people intentionally left an inquiry on my website to purchase a coffee bike.
Oh, after Dragon's Den, sure.
Unfortunately, Dragon's Den didn't really give me as much exposure. Most of that comes with my personal efforts of like Instagram and Facebook target ads.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Which I do spend some significant amounts. My budget can be between $3,000 to $5,000 per month for that. I probably close like 20 sales from this stream, which is still a lot. It's a good return on investment. If you think about it, like, you know, 50,000 spent on ads and I sold like 350,000, 400,000 worth of hardware. It's a good return, but I'm constantly trying to improve the efficiency of lead generation, as well as bringing the lead from the cold all the way to the hot pipeline. So I have introduced like different AI communications where my AI agents would pre-qualify lead before booking the call with me.
Okay, that makes sense. Pre-qualify leads, respond to customer inquiries, all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, what else? What surprised you the most along the way?
How supportive and responsive people are. We as a humans, we like to make sometimes unnecessary conclusions about someone that we haven't even started talking to. You know, first impression or something. But I realized that a lot of people are actually almost like waiting for someone to talk to them. We really start to lack socializing and communication nowadays. So this is something that surprised me along my entrepreneurial journey, as well as my recent journey, is like how responsive, how kind, and how amazing people are.
Yeah, you're on this cross-country journey, documenting it all on social media and on YouTube at Coffee Bike TV, if you want to follow along with Vlad's journey over there. And of course, coffeebike.ca, you can see everything that he's up to. What else is going on? What else has got you excited this year?
This trip is my last cherry on the top of the cake of my North American journey. I've been living in Vancouver for the past 16 years, and I think I've done and I've seen as much as I could. So like my next chapter, I am actually moving for 1 year to Asia, and I want to see what are the options to develop Coffee by Concept over there. In fact, my family is already there right now waiting for me to join them. I have like my wife and my kids.
Oh, okay.
Like I started this journey 5 weeks ago with actually signing off my apartment lease in Vancouver. So I'm technically homeless right now, living in my car. I have home over there right now, but that's the next chapter. I really want to justify the last word of my company, Coffee Bike World, really making like a worldwide kind of presence. We are in Canada right now. We are in the United States. We have one unit in Peru. But more and more, especially with this YouTube journey exposure, I've been receiving inquiries from Europe, from Australia, from New Zealand, from Asian countries. So Asia seems like a good hub for me to kind of try to develop Middle East, Europe, Asian markets, because it's a little bit too distant from Canada to keep on doing. Even though I'm not giving up on my local Vancouver operation, my team is keep on running it, but I'm always kind of on this loop of what's next, what's next, what's next. Now, starting from building one unit in the Vancouver garage and running it around the city to kind of growing this globally right now, that's the vision right now.
Wow, that is really exciting. Yeah, with the team in place to keep things running while you're away, really exciting. Cool. Keep us posted on that next new adventure. Again, coffeebike.ca, check Vlad out over there. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
We tend to overthink and overplan something to the point that we forget that we actually have to commit and execute. A lot of entrepreneurship is dying off on the planning stage. So my suggestion to aspiring entrepreneurs, to people who want just to start a side hustle, just to execute. The worst thing, you will try and maybe lose a little bit of the financial contribution or like a little bit of the time. But what you don't want to have is in many years from now, regrets about what if you never even tried. So my biggest suggestion is to don't wait, to execute.
That's right. You got to take your shot. You know, the timing is never going to be perfect. So if not now, when? So a couple of takeaways from me before I wrap. The first thing I wrote down was find a hungry crowd, or in this case, a thirsty one, getting in front of these office audiences, getting in front of these event audiences where you can be the go-to provider for this happy experience in their day. And caffeine, I looked this up, is the world's most popular drug. So trying to carve off a little piece of this huge market for yourself. And we've had other guests kind of go the opposite direction. Look, I want to be a big fish in a small pond. But hey, look, if you can be a medium-sized fish in a huge pond or a huge ocean, that also works, as it's worked for Vlad. So whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, I want to invite you to generate your own personalized Side Hustle Show playlist. All you got to do is go to hustle.show, answer a few short multiple-choice questions, and it'll build you a custom playlist of 8 to 10 of our greatest hits episodes based on your answers that you can add to your device. You can listen in. You can learn what works. Again, hustle.show for that. Big thanks to Vlad for sharing his insight. Thanks to our sponsors as well for helping make this content free for everyone. SideHustleNation.com/deals is where to go to find all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.